Today, Marcus runs away to the mountains, Devin and Valor forget what a weekend is, and then we talk about the awesomeness of awesome games done quick. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. And we are back. I know the timer is wrong, but welcome to another episode of Trust Circle. This is Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by Top Shelf Gaming editor-in-chief, founder-in-chief, stutterer-in-chief, crazy person-in-chief, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis. First one of the new year.
Second one.
Did we do one?
Last week was January.
Oh, snap.
First one, not...
I'm such a fool. That's okay.
It's all right. My wife's gone again.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, she's once again like 30 feet that way.
Tell her why she's not here. It's because she's a baby.
It's because she's a baby who can't keep her fingers out of her ears. And I'm going to hope she doesn't listen to this one because she'll get mad at me. But no, she had some earwax impacted in her ear, and so she had to go get that taken care of after work.
It's called Q-tips, Devin.
No, see, no, Q-tips do that to you. Q-tips are bad news.
But I like the way they feel.
Whew, okay, well, we gotta go. Thank you for joining us.
It's like a good itch, and then you...
No, it is.
You put the... It's just... I always do, like, one side, you put water on it, and so first you wet your ears, and then you use the, like, dry side to, like, dry it out. That's Q-tip pro tip.
Q-tip pro tip. I don't use Q-tips that often. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't either, but when I do...
But when you do, it's a special day.
It is.
Yeah, well, she had to go get that taken care of, and so she has to do the work that she was supposed to get done before the podcast now. So, sorry, Valerie. You have to go make money.
Wake up, you need to make money.
Yep. It's only funny if you get it, and we're not going to explain it. Well, Marcus, this is episode 19.
We're now that age where, like, we're an adult, but we're a little more established.
We're in our gap.
But we, like, still can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm an adult. I'm probably out of high school, but, like, I still don't have... I don't know what to do with my life. I can't do anything.
Nope.
You're years away from being able to rent a car. You still can't legally drink.
You still can't even go to bars.
No, you can pay taxes and go to prison. Congratulations, you're an adult. And 19 is like a weird number. Like 18, it's like nice and roundish.
It's prime.
It is prime. I like 17 better than 19 as far as prime.
Oh, yeah.
I just like sevens.
17, no, I've been hearing that a lot lately. I was listening to this podcast earlier, and he and the host was like, 2017 is just a great looking year.
It looks really good.
Yeah, on paper.
Mm-hmm. Like just like you just like to get that 2 and the 0 and that just and then there's just that slash of the 7 just looks like
that's
the year of Zorro or something.
This is, I never like analyzed why it looks so good, but yeah, you're right.
It's just lots of like
there's so many contrasting shapes. You got your curves, you got your edges, you got your straight lineys, you got your no lineys.
Well, you got your big number forms and your small number forms. Mm. You got angles, and it's a really nice looking number. 2016 looked just kind of like a play school toy,
like a potato,
yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, and so 2018,
a little spud like. Yeah, you're right.
Assuming we get there,
so we gotta savor this.
Savor 2017.
Yeah,
2017. The year of umami.
The year of the beard, as I'm now calling it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to grow out my beard.
I mean, I like your beard.
I've never, like, carried facial hair. This is, so...
He says, well, he has a mustache and, like, not long, but, like, full facial hair.
Here's, well, Devin, I started growing this, and you can see like how big of a deal this is. Like, I started growing this 2 weeks, like halfway into October, and then I let it grow out. I like usually shave it after 2 weeks because that's when it becomes unbearable to look at. But not because there is so much hair, but like because there is such a pathetic amount of hair that like it just looks awkward. Yeah. And like so, but then it was November, and so I was like, no shave November. Like, that gives me a reason not to shave. And so it wasn't for charity. It wasn't for like any like good cause. It was just out of laziness.
It was just for you.
And then December came, and I was like, I think I'm gonna not shave yet. And now we're here in January, and I'm gonna commit to this beard. And I know it's not very long. Like, your beard is currently longer than mine. You probably let it grow out for like 2 days. But like, but like, this is me after 2.5 months, and I think I'm gonna keep going with it.
I could. I mean, you mean because you have a lot of head hair because you have the dreads going on.
I have the dreads, yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to imagine, like, what, like, even more of that would look like.
But I think what you're forgetting is that, like, even in 6 months' time, there's not going to be some dramatic amount of beard
hair.
No,
for sure.
So, well, like, even for me, slightly more than this.
Even for me, like, I can't grow my beard out huge. It can get fairly long. But once it gets to a certain, like, length, it just sort of starts, like, fanning out instead of, like, actually growing thicker. Mm. So, like, it'll get, you know, decently thick-ish. But, like, you know, some, like our friend Anton, like, his beard will just, like, yeah. Go. Mine doesn't do that. Mine gets to a certain point and then just kind of, like, freaks out.
So you'll get the mass but not the volume.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
Science.
The mass effect.
The mass effect. And, Andromeda's coming out in
yeah,
March.
Yeah, speaking of video games, this is a video game podcast.
you might have forgot.
You might have forgotten.
Yeah.
I think Valerie would appreciate all of our beard talk.
Yeah.
Since it doesn't have video games.
Since she has the best beard out of all of us.
It's true. It's true.
Just happens to be in her armpits.
That's true.
She's not going to hear this, right?
I sure hope not. Otherwise, this will definitely be our last episode. We'll just have Gary come and read our obituaries.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And here lies the brother's top shelf.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, how you been this week?
I've been good. I'm in my 20s, and I'm having lots of, like, existential crises.
Sounds
like,
about right.
Like, every day. And, last weekend, I went to Big Bear, and this will probably be, like, one of the only weekends that I have off until, like, October-ish. So, it was nice. I went out with, like, 25 friends. We rented a cabin.
I don't think I have 25 friends.
Yeah, well, come with us and you can meet some friends.
I just want the taco bar.
Taco bar, yeah. So I was one of the cooking leaders. We didn't talk about it on the show.
You were the cooking mama?
I was cooking mama. We actually I signed up to be one of the cooking leaders because cooking is one of the things that helped me feel alive. In my cold, dead heart.
You gotta eat to stay alive.
You gotta eat. And you know, I spend so much time looking at screens. Like 13 hours a day on average.
Yep, right there with you.
Cooking gives me a chance to, like, break away from the screen and just do something that feels productive, that's fun, that's in some ways creative, that's not tied to some electronic device. I mean, that's not tied. I cook with kindling sticks, yeah. So it's completely analog.
All your tools are whittled from animal bones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So it's a very natural experience. So I made this giant taco bar for my cabin years, and I made 15 pounds of meat.
That's a lot of meat.
A lot of meat.
That's a lot of meat.
Yeah, but it was super tasty. Then we had a good time. There, it was snowing.
Nice.
I got a lot of cheap shots in on people with snowballs.
Yep.
And that was really satisfying. I got this one girl really, really good when she wasn't looking. And she was like, "Who threw this?" And I stayed silent.
And play cool.
Like, she still doesn't know. And so I'm just taking that one. It's like my own mini victory. But during this weekend, I just being away from work for the first time in 6 months, because I don't really have vacation days as a contractor.
Yep.
And so, you know, like my first break in a long time, and just being away from my day-to-day life and being in the mountains, I thought a lot and a lot of reflection time just about and you know, just there's more to life than I guess what I do in my day-to-day. And so I'm coming back down not with any profound perspective, but just a different perspective. Yeah, so it wasn't this life changing thing, but you know, it was kind of refreshing to realize that there's more than just the daily grind.
For sure, there's something to be said about breaking your routine and just removing yourself from your natural habitat,
yeah,
so to speak. And you know, we even got a little bit of that. Valerie and I, we went up to visit our parents, and you know, we didn't, you know, we were in Northern California, we're out in some remote, you know, island or mountain cabin or whatever. We were in Petaluma, which, you know, you might consider remote in some ways. but just, you know, not being in the apartment.
Yeah.
Not having work for a few days and just doing something different, realizing, oh, the world is bigger than the way I perceive it Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
I think that just that reminder is enough. You don't need to have this big, huge moment. And that's something that I remember as a youth leader bringing kids to summer camp and winter camp. And some of them would go in expecting this huge, life altering experience. And sure. For some of you, maybe you'll have some sort of, you know, breakthrough idea about who you are, who you want to be, or something about yourself.
Yeah.
But for most of us, most of the time, I think it's just breaking that schedule, breaking that habit, and just realizing that there's more, like you said, there's more to life than yours, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's such a healthy thing. I never realized how much I needed that, you know?
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
You think taking a break is easy and it's lazy, but it's actually trying to plan that and make room for that in this life you've built is really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Because
life doesn't stop just because you want it to.
No, it doesn't. So go take breaks.
Yeah.
Little mini vacations.
Treat yourself.
Even if that vacation is just going to a different coffee shop.
Yeah.
This Saturday, actually, Valor had Saturday off. She usually works Saturdays. But she got Saturday off. And so we decided to go out and have a weekend. But we've forgotten how to do that because all of our plans didn't work out. We went and got breakfast, and that was good. That worked out fine. But then we were going to go work at a coffee shop. And so we had walked to breakfast, and so we just walked down around here to this cafe that Valerie had been to before. But apparently it had changed management or just how they ran the business, because they wouldn't let us stay there unless we bought food.
Oh.
And we just eaten, so we didn't buy food. So you can't just buy coffee, which seems super strange.
Yeah.
I'm still buying something from you. And they weren't busy. There was us and two other small groups.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So that was weird. So that didn't work out. So then we decided we would go walk down to the library to go work. And so we walked to the library. Valerie had to pay off some library fines.
Were they large?
It was like $8.
That's pretty large for a library. Yeah.
So we bit off more than we could chew, because at the Tustin Library, you can check out 50 books at a time, and you can keep them for 3-week periods, but then you can renew them 5 times.
So you can kind of just have a mini 50 library. 50 books is a lot of books at a time.
So she checked out like 12 like graphic novels, and then, you know, forgot, because you know, we were just like renewing it and not worrying about it for weeks at a time, and then time ran out. So it was a library, but it was kind of weirdly crowded for a Saturday, and then
well, because everyone was trying to go study at that cafe, but then they were all turned down, and so they all had to go to the library.
And so like the table we found, it was just kind of in the middle of everything, and there were people doing their thing, but like just there was these two people that were just like coughing really, not just loudly, but like just like I wanted to ask if they were okay. Do you need help?
Yeah.
And so it just got kind of weirdly uncomfortable. So we're like, okay, well,
they got tinnitus.
Yeah, they got tinnitus. So we decided we would drive to Cerritos and go to that library, because that library is awesome. We went there before. And so we finally get there and we get set up. We find a little nice place and we go to get onto the Wi-Fi and find out that you have to have a library card to get to to access the Wi-Fi there, which is $100 for non-Cerritos residents. And our cell service was too weak to pick up on just like our phone service. So we couldn't work there either. So we just hung out at the library. The library closed, and I brought with me a t-shirt that Valerie's sister got me for Christmas that didn't fit me.
I've been there.
That was from Forever 21. I was like, okay, we'll go return it. There was a mall right next to the library. So I go grab the t-shirt. The mall is jam-packed. We forgot it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we were just wading through oceans of teens. We get to Forever 21, and the dude is like, this isn't our shirt, man. It wasn't their shirt. We thought it was Forever 21. It definitely was not. So that plan didn't work out. So then we thought, okay, well, let's get out of here, because too many teens. We were going to go get food at this Thai place Valerie had seen while driving into the mall.
Thai is great.
We love Thai food. We get at the Thai restaurant, and it looks like a murder house.
That could mean several things.
So, a lot of times, hole-in-the-wall restaurants can be, like, the best restaurants.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm Mexican, like, I know my Mexican, like, when I look for Mexican food, I look for, like, the grubbiest, dirtiest, tiniest, smallest space.
Yes.
Like, that's how I know I'm going to get my good Mexican food.
Yes.
And I've had real good Thai food at similar places. This place did not look like that kind of small. Their sign said open, but everything else about that place said, please, just do not come near us.
Were the lights off? Were the...
It looked like lights were like totally off. Like there were like blinds that were like completely drawn and shut. Like it just looked not like a great situation.
Did you see the like health and safety rating?
We didn't get out of the car. We
just like, he's like, nope.
We just kind of pulled up. We're like, no, not after this day.
So what? You guys are like 1 in 6 at this point.
Pretty much.
You got breakfast,
and then that's so it. We went to Hoosong down at the theater.
Okay.
In Orange.
Right.
And then we got nachos and came back. So that was our Saturday. It was not like we were expecting at all, but it was still fun because it was just a break. You know, it wasn't Valerie at work and me just at home being lonely and playing video games all day. So even though our plans didn't work out, just having that change of pace was really nice.
Yeah.
But then the week came back and now it's work again,
and you're back to it.
We're back. The first week back felt a little different because, like, you know, no one had quite landed yet after the new year. It's like, okay, just nothing really matters this week.
Yeah,
this week feels like it's like just real regular back to work.
Yeah, same here. And
I'm
terrified. If, like, I'm terrified for my boss to ask me, like, like, how's work going? Or like, or like, how do you like it here? Because, like, I either have to be honest or be, like, cordial. Because my honest answer is, like, as soon as I get here, all I can think about is when I get off. And, like, I have a great, you know, I have a great gig. But I'm realizing, especially after Mountain Times, was just like, man, there's just so much life out there. And, I mean, it's a matter of time, you know, we're all like, both of us, Valerie, 20s, like what we're doing now is not what we're going to be doing in our 30s.
Sure hope not.
So it's finding that contentment. And I think that's something that I've learned over the past few months, where like now I can say that for the most part, I'm content, but I wouldn't say that I'm happy. Are you allowed to be content and not happy? Like,
those are very different things.
Okay. Then yeah, that's where I'm going to settle.
Yeah.
So I'm content, but I'm not happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, on that awesome, super uplifting light note.
I love 20s, right?
Yeah. I haven't played that many games this week.
I haven't either.
We got a new Overwatch map.
Wait, yes, so I was did. That. Oasis.
We got Oasis.
What did you think of it?
I've still only played a few matches on it, so I still am uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
It feels really, all the stages feel really small, which I kind of like, because it feels like you're just constantly
fighting. It just like throws you back into the fight. You aren't running back.
But the problem I've realized, and this happens in other maps too, but I feel like more often, I feel like the opposing team will push you like all the way back to basically your spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be frustrating, but I feel like that if that happens, like, that's your fault more than it is the other team's fault. That's just them taking advantage.
Yeah, well, that doesn't happen to me very often. But I mean, Blizzard gives you ways out.
Yes.
You know, there's always multiple exits. It's just a matter of your team being able to coordinate that and actually figure that out.
Yeah, and like, you know, no one, or, you know, most people, you know, don't know this map by heart the way we know Ilios or King's Row. Although, yeah. I just found like a whole new area in King's Row I'd never been to before, like 2 weeks ago. It's like this upper weird like side room that like I just never had any reason to go to.
Before the first point or after the first point?
I think it was, I think it's near the defense spawn, actually.
Oh.
It's like an upstairs like interior that I just never stumbled upon before. And then the last checkpoint when you go inside the building, that catwalk on top.
Yeah.
Like
it connects all the way back to the front of the...
I've known that was there, but I didn't start using it until very recently.
Yeah.
And it changed my entire like strategy on that map.
No, yeah. So, I mean, one big thing that I've been learning like in the last few weeks is the importance of high ground, and once you like when you first start playing Overwatch, you look at all these maps and like you think there's all these alternate paths, like why are these here?
Yeah.
When like my path is this like straight line, blah.
The objective's here. Why would I take this weird long route?
But once you start getting to higher level play, you like start realizing the benefits and why these other paths are here and like how to start utilizing them. And it like really does change the game. Like I like watching Overwatch tournaments on live streams and watching how the pros play certain maps is completely different than how I've seen anyone else play it. So like on Numbani, the defense on a pro level doesn't attack where the buses are. They all get on the payload where Doomfist's glove is, but like they're also spread out on the high ground,
up on the sides.
Yeah, and really no one is on the floor. They're all up there, and like they're all just like, so like no one can be, so multiple people can't really be killed at once. Mm-hmm. They're all attacking. They're all picking people off. It's like a completely different game. They're like, the way that they think, the way that they like strategize is just at such a completely different level than where I am. Mm-hmm. But I've been learning from them and like trying to pick these things up. And
yeah, well, that's what helped when I every time there's a new fighting game, unless it's Street Fighter, I've never really been in a Street Fighter that much. But when a new fighting game comes in and I inevitably, you know, buy it on a sale, you know, I'm terrible at fighting games.
Yeah.
But I will go watch like pros play online just to like figure out like what is even possible. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I'll never play at that level or never even get close, but just saying like, oh, like these are the limits of this game.
Yeah.
So like, then I feel like if I hadn't seen that high level play and I just kind of picked it on my own, I would kind of have this perceived ceiling that was much lower than the game actually had.
Yeah.
And so I would expect kind of less of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing like, oh, like people can take this game all the way to this level, I can probably take it to this level, which is higher than what I thought before. And so like, I feel like there's more depth for me to reach. And so I'm more likely to actually put the effort into doing that.
Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat X,
mm-hmm.
I was into for a while. And like I got a lot deeper than I usually do in fighting games in that game because I'd seen what really good people had done with mm-hmm. it, and it's like crazy. It's like I don't know how brains like fighting games freak me out. Fighting games freak me out because there's so many things you have to be paying attention to. It makes first person shooters in a lot of ways seem like childish.
I think I think the FGC would think that about shooter players. They're just completely different games with their own set of skills. Even I was talking to my buddy Milton. He's the host of Slovenly Gamer podcast.
Yeah, good and, podcast.
Yeah, really good. He's one of my favorites. And we, before I was on his show, him and I had this like big like knowledge culture exchange,
because
mm-hmm. I come from the like Smash world and he comes from Street Fighter, and we were just sharing knowledge about like, because they're both fighting games, but like Street Fighter is traditional. Smash Brothers is like it's like own genre basically. And like I was telling him about the things that I do as a Smash player, and he was like, "That just doesn't make sense." and like he was telling me about all of his Street Fighter stuff, and I'm like, "What are you? How does that even work?" and he was so impressed with me for my knowledge of, you know, Smash. But I look at him and like what he does with Street Fighter, and I'm like, I could never, like, I was so impressed with him. And I mean, I feel like Smash is so much easier to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking at Smash and was like, this seems so more complicated. And like, so it's just that contrast of just like, you know, I guess what you grew up learning and like what you poured that time into.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that interesting thing where like you can watch Overwatch now and like understand what's going on and like understand the intricacies even if you can't perform it.
Yeah.
And it is its own language. I think it's cool. I think as gamers, like, that's kind of one of the cool things, is like knowing that here's where our knowledge was and here's where it is now. And like, we can see that development and it feels like we're a part of something.
Yeah. What's really been neat to see, because I feel like the last couple of generations have seen a lot of progress in just development side of like the game, the kinds of games we can build now. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like as players get better at certain skill sets, developers are getting better at developing games that take that knowledge and that skill and push it forward and open the doors even more.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we're learning as in some cases, these genres are still growing and being developed.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of this parallel path. I think things like MOBAs have kind of been that. They're still fairly new compared to other genres.
I mean, they're the newest.
Dota 1's been around for a while, but people didn't really start playing it until Dota 2.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know,
I'm sure beats me. I can tell you.
You know, on my radar, like that's the newest kind of major competitive genre.
Yeah,
and so there's still a lot to be discovered there. But speaking of watching games online and watching people who are far more skilled than us, I wanted to move on to our main topic of the show. But let's take a quick break first. So when we come back, we're going to talk AGDQ and other related stuff. Hello, we're back after our rousing break. I definitely meant like to get up and like stretch, and I didn't. We just sat here and talked.
Well, a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned it before the break, but I'll mention it again. AGDQ is happening right now.
AGDQ.
Awesome. Games done quick.
It doesn't stand for Always Gators Dairy Queen?
That was their old one. They had to change it because of moral.
Russian allegations.
Because of Russian allegations. Whew. Not that that's relevant or topical in any way right now.
No. Anyway.
So AGDQ. Marcus, have you watched AGDQ before in the past?
I've never.
Or SGDQ. Summer Games Done Quick.
I've never really watched it. I've always seen like GIFs of it, of just like people doing crazy things, but I've never sat down and watched the actual stream.
So this is where working from home is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know, AGDQ and SGDQ are week-long live stream, charity live streams of speedrunners. And so I'll break that down a little bit. So speedrunning is exactly what it sounds like. You play a game and you try to get through it as fast as you can by any means possible. Usually lots of exploits.
Other than cheat codes.
Other than cheat codes. That's actually, yeah, that's one of the few. Well, so it varies game by game. Speedrunning has been around for a long, long time by video game standards. And so different games will have, you know, separate categories within a single game. So there's, you know, you can just basically get from the start screen to a credit screen, or you have to 100% it, you have to unlock everything and accomplish the entire game, or, you know, there'll be certain skips you can or can't use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all super interesting. And the older the game is, usually the worse it can break. And I've actually learned a lot about how old games work at like a mechanical, like sometimes like electrical level, by listening to how these speedrunners are able to exploit this game and break it so they can complete it faster. Because you learn things like, oh, like these game cartridges were like measured in megabytes under 10, and so they had to get really creative with how they like work with like save states. And mm-hmm. so like, I don't know, like this block texture is also like your save game. So if you can find a way to mess with the block texture, you're going to like change your save game and then have access to things you wouldn't normally have access to. And like, just like crazy things like that.
Yeah.
And they do some other fun things. It's awesome. They do it twice a year and it's always charity. This week they are benefiting, the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Okay.
And let me be clear. they regularly raise over $1 million on these things.
Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
It's legit. And they run 24/7, literally for an entire week. And so the schedule, by the time you're reading this with your ears, 9 o'clock tomorrow, which is 9 o'clock for Wednesday for you, they'll be setting up. 10:30 is Castlevania, then Castlevania 4, Castlevania Rondo of Blood. And we got some Mega Mans, and then later on in the day, Halo 2, which is one of the better speedruns I've seen.
They're going to speedrun Mighty No. 9.
They're going to speedrun Mighty No. 9. Batman Arkham City I've seen before. Halo 2 is a really good speedrun, though.
420.
I don't think this is the guy that I've seen before speedrun. Batman Forever, Time Cop, Cool World, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Dragon's Lair, Nightmare on Elm Street. And so, like, it spans, you know, super old games, super new games. I think last summer games done quick, they sped run Bloodborne.
Really?
It's some crazy stuff. It's awesome, but it made me think of all the ways we break games. So SGDQ and AGDQ are examples of, like, super duper breaking games. But they've also kind of created their own genre of game.
Yeah.
And so even though it's not, you know, the intended way of, you know, the developers had in mind when they built this game, it's, I mean, they have this event and it raised tons of money and tons of people watch, and they do it every single year. So a lot of people are doing it, and it, you know, it's become its own way of playing a game. And it reminded me of the ways when I was younger, even like today still, like, I will kind of just find new ways to play the games that I have. One of the easiest examples I can think of is playing Grand Theft Auto when I was younger. Maybe shouldn't have been playing it. You know, with my friends, we would invent, you know, these weird games. We'd get one life and we'd take turns, and we'd the people who weren't playing would basically give the person like three objectives they had to do, and it usually involved, you know, getting the highest wanted level and escaping or something, or having to get like from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And it's just things that, you know, the game never, you know, tells you to do, or and sometimes, you know, kind of doesn't want you to do, but you just kind of make it happen. GTA is kind of about that, but, you know, easy example. Another example that I haven't done before, but I hear about, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes if I really want to try it, is, have you heard of Cario Mart?
Cario Mart.
Cario Mart.
Is that the same as Burio Kart?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Yes.
So this is a drinking game.
I've definitely done it.
So, okay, well, so share your experience with Burio Kart.
Well, it stems from a place of just being responsible and just being a good human being, because it's, you know, really, it's
it has a
really,
good lesson.
It's really about a good educational value, which is don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive. You can't do it. Winners don't drink and drive.
No, winners do not drink and drive. And so what this game is that you get a beer, and everyone who's racing has a can of beer. And you have to, and you can't finish your third lap until you drink, until you fully finish drinking your entire beer. And the second rule is that while you're drinking, you can't be driving. And so there's multiple strategies. You know, some people like to race their entire race, stop right before the finish line, and then just chug their beer. Some people like to do it in bursts. Some people like to chug at the beginning.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah. But the rule is that you can't finish until you finish your whole beer.
Obviously, what Nintendo had in mind when they...
That's definitely
first made Mario Kart.
If you look in the instruction manual at the very last page under house rules. you might find it there. Yes, this was back in my fraternity days.
Oh, how cliche.
In college. Actually, I was only in it for a Mario Kart, but they wouldn't let me play otherwise.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, Marcus, if you had any like memories of weird, just like fun, like meta games you made with your friends or even just by yourself.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that I totally do. I'm not coming up with a lot of examples. I know the one thing also in college is me and one of my best buddies, we would always play Smash Brothers or always play...
Smash Brothers is a very good game for making up stupid stuff.
Yeah, and like we played Injustice, actually. That was the main game. And so it's this fighting game with all of these DC comic book...
New one comes out in March.
New one comes out in March? Yep. That soon?
Yep, I think March...
I haven't even heard of it since... No one's talked about it.
Oh, there's been like two trailers, dude.
But no one's talked about it.
Nah.
Who's like... I mean, who is actually talking about this game?
Me right now to you.
Right now?
Yeah.
First time in like...
Supergirl.
In like 8 months. Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Very cool. So, our rule was that whoever lost had to do like 20 push-ups. And we got tired really, really quickly, but like that was our own rule with mm-hmm. it. And I remember it was a big deal. It kind of broke the game. It was this glitch in Mario Kart DS. Have you heard of snaking?
Yes, I have heard of snaking.
Yeah, so like
that snaking, sounds like a speedrunning trick.
It is. It
definitely is.
Yeah. But like snaking is basically this exploit where like you can do a drifting boost and just keep doing it back and forth. And the way that game was made is that you could get enough drift to boost pretty quickly, and so you could just use that continuously and just get this like really unfair advantage.
Yeah. Side note, Mario Kart games have great speed runs. They usually run some each event.
I
think I've watched speed runs of just about all of them.
Yeah.
Mario Kart 64 has some pretty ridiculous skins. Has some good ones. One of the ones I remember, did you ever do Rock Band Roulette?
No, what's that?
So it's more like Chinese Fire Drill, but mm-hmm. Rock Band Roulette sounds better.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to switch instruments part of the song twice.
That's fun.
So you have to just like find the right time in the song, like to go switch it,
yeah.
And then you compete that way. By myself, I used to do it a lot too.
you just set all of them up.
That's the saddest thing. I'm with other games, but now I'm just thinking of myself just in a room, just with like the mic in this hand, like trying to play with a guitar with my feet. I mean, wow. No, I mean if you put that guitar on bass on easy,
you could probably
make that happen.
Well, yeah, and then the later games had beginner,
yeah,
which like was just pressing any button.
Can you just hold the instrument?
Yeah, yeah.
You're good.
It's like, all right, you're in.
But I remember Spider-Man 2,
Spider-Man,
because I liked the swinging so much. Mm-hmm. I would just set up swinging challenges for myself or my friend. We just say like, you know, we have to get from the pizza shop to up to the Empire State Building, and you can't, once you start swinging, you can't stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Diddy Kong Racing.
Mm-hmm.
I never beat that game as a kid. I beat it later, after I graduated college. I bought a cheap Nintendo 64 and then realized like you get in a spaceship and there's a whole other like world beyond it.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I would, oh gosh, I would just, cause there's like a hub in Diddy Kong Racing where like there's like doors to each individual world, which is like a very common thing in the N64 days.
Yeah.
And
now that I'm thinking about it right now, I finally know why they did that. It makes sense, because they didn't have enough processing power to just have this big open world. They had to segment it off.
Like Skyrim, just like Skyrim.
Just like Skyrim. Just everything's...
no, but I would imagine myself as like some hero trying to like get from one side of the hub world to the other, like to like rescue like my friends or probably the girl I had a crush on or something. I don't know. actually, I just remembered the original ATV, the MXATV, but the old ATV games with PS2. I would get that game, and they would have big free roam levels, and I would start from one end, and I would be like, okay, I have to go rescue in whoever, and I have to get there, and I would set a time, and I'd just like go, and I'd be like just barreling through these like crazy hills and stuff, and I would do that for like there's an entire game you can play, but I would just sit there in like this dumb open box and just drive until the world like. If you hit the end of the world, it wasn't a wall. It would just explode you and you'd go flying back across the map. It was super cool. But I would do that for literally hours.
Oh my gosh. No, I feel... So, this thought I just had was... I feel like when we were younger, we had to do those types of things. Because we didn't have our own income. We didn't... As kids, we probably didn't get very many games. No. And so... One game might be the only game that like we got for like one full year, maybe two, three if like you're really, really, really lucky. But now, you know, that still happens. We like still have fun. That's kind of deviations from the actual game. But instead of us making those things up, they're just trophies.
Yeah.
That's what the developers are just like putting those in and like, and you know, as actual rewards.
So do you think that's a good thing? That's kind of a weird way to word that question, but.
I don't, a good thing.
Like, do you think having achievements. Like that explicitly state, do this weird thing or do like this thing, you know, and under this minute, they do it this many times, do it in under this amount of time. Do you think that kind of takes away from that spontaneous like creativity of you having to kind of build it for yourself? Or do you think it just makes it a more clean, efficient way to kind of expand the fun of a game?
I don't think it takes away from it because, I mean, at least the way that I play video games, I know that I'm different from a lot of people, but I don't really care too much about trophies or achievements. I mean, it depends on the game, but like for the most part, I'm not like seeking them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I get one, then like that's cool, but I'm not going out of my way. So like I might discover these things on my own without being prompted by you know reading this list of tasks that would earn me these rewards. So I feel like that spontaneity, like the potential for that is, you know, still there, and it just, if I feel like messing around, I feel like I did that with Watch Dogs a lot. And I think that's a good game to like really do that with. I like going off of hills and like jumps and just seeing like if I can land in like certain places. I know when I was trying Watch Dogs 2 or I watched you play, you were trying to like go over this hill and like over this like freeway overpass and like land without blowing up. And like that's definitely not a part of that game, but like because the game doesn't restrict you from doing those things, I think it becomes about like us saying like, what if, like, could I do that thing? Like within the boundaries of this game, like, is this thing possible? And like that's where all that comes from.
Yeah. No, and I think what fascinates me about speedrunning specifically is, I think kind of like we talked about fighting games, how like there's like this tier that normal people have, like this this skill you can like reasonably assume you'll get to, but then there's this whole other world above that where like if you're dedicated, Like, you can then have all of this other experience up here.
Yeah.
And speedrunning, to me, like, is that other level.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, some games do kind of have speedrunning mechanics built in. There was a speedrunners game that came out and was popular on the YouTubes mm-hmm. for a while. But, you know, a lot of these games came out, like, in the 80s and the 90s. And so, like, the idea that people would even be playing them in 2017 was never even you know, a thought back then, probably, for most of the developers. But here they are playing it, but in a completely different way.
Yeah.
And technically within the confines of the game, but also, like, in the confines, because we've ripped it apart and discovered new
yeah
way areas to explore. And it just it reminds me of, like, when you find a glitch in a game,
mm-hmm.
like, every now and then you'll just find a funny glitch, and you're like, and usually it's something stupid, like, oh, like, this texture's funny, or, like, if I stand in this corner, like, my arm will go all wiggly and weird, and, like, you feel like you've discovered something.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go and watch speedrunners and see the glitches that they, you know, that they exploit to go in, and I'm like, oh, like, that's way crazier. You know,
yeah, I never would have found that.
You jump no on way. This barrel, but you have to jump from this exact spot on the ground, or you'll fall through the world. But then if you jump up here, then you can jump on this other part of the geometry, which you can't actually see, but it's still there because of just the way the mesh works. You have to walk across a very specific line, then jump up to this part, and then jump to the secret room that the developers never intended to finish or create. And then you fall back through that into a loading zone, and that loads you to the next level and you beat the game.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you even stumble across that?
Yeah, there's, yeah. Some of that stuff is just nuts, it's interesting to watch, and I think the unforeseen benefit of, you know, awesome games done quick, summer games done quick is the educational benefit.
Oh yeah,
like, you know, learning how games function and like how they work and why these speed runners are able to exploit it is mm-hmm. because they have some understanding of all the components that make this game run and then how to overcome them or, like, outsmart them. And so when you're watching these things, you're like learning how to code, you're learning how to optimize games, you're learning the inner workings of, like, all of these games. And I think it's fascinating.
It's incredibly fascinating, and I think, you know, the final major component is it's a huge community.
Yeah.
It's not just individuals at home picking away at a game. You know, there are hundreds of players who all focus on speedrunning a game or, like, a category of a game, and mm-hmm. so they're all communicating and sharing their finds and sharing, like, I found this glitch, but I don't know what to do with it. And then someone else says, oh, like, I'll use that glitch to then, like, try to optimize, like, this one path, and then realize, oh, this glitch will actually hook up with this glitch over here in a way that we haven't found till now. And then just watching them all gather here, you know, because the stream shows, you know, the player running it. They usually have, like, a small group with them, like, that'll do additional commentary, because sometimes you just got to pay attention to the game you're playing. And the best runs are the ones with the best commentary. I think it was maybe last year's AGDQ. There was a run, and the guy was speedrunning Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And the run went, like, it failed. Like, he got a glitch and, like, just reset the thing. And, like, he just, a few things that were kind of out of his control just kind of happened. And so, like, the run itself, like, it was nowhere near, like, any, like, competitive time.
Yeah.
But he kept commentating. And even as it was messing up, he was explaining, it didn't work because this happened in the code, and because this happened, this is now going to affect this thing later on. And so, like, the run failed, but the show and the education part of it didn't. And, you know, no one was, like, booing or getting annoyed at him. Like, people were, like, you know, were cheering him on the whole entire way through. And it ended up being, like, one of the most memorable runs of the week because of that, of his knowledge and his, you know, ability just to keep his cool and just, you know, accept what it was and no, this was, you know, for charity, for entertainment, for education purposes.
Yeah.
And then the group around him just supporting him in that, which I think is super cool. And I would love if maybe more of the gaming community as a whole was as supportive of each other in our group endeavors.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Game's done quick.
So they're running. I think they go. They started Saturday, I believe. They're gonna go until at least Friday. Oh gosh, it booted me to an ad. I had the schedule up, but look it for yourself. It's on Twitch. Also, they've been uploading the runs to YouTube pretty quickly this year. Years past, they've taken a while to get them up, but they already have runs that were up from yesterday up today.
Oh, cool.
So you can catch up on those and then watch the live ones. And then they have, you know, all their past shows cataloged, and it's awesome. I'll go watch and rewatch runs that I like just because they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Some of them are real long. Some of them are really, really short.
Completely.
And, you know, the size of playing the game normally generally has little bearing on what a speed run looks like.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say is it gives me an appreciation of less polished games.
Yeah.
Obviously, we like games to be well-crafted and well-designed and are going to, you know, stand up to tens of thousands of millions of players. Mm-hmm. Tens of thousands of millions.
Tens of thousands. That's
that's too high of a number. Lots of players. You know, playing it, and you want to keep, you know, your corners nice and clean. And so, you know, the glitches you see from Overwatch, some of them are kind of cool, but you don't see things that severely break a game the way you'll see with, I don't know, say a Sonic the Hedgehog game.
One that made a big boom in the industry.
That one in particular has a crazy, crazy speed run because that game is super duper broken. You can literally fly forever.
I don't know if it's ridiculous. As broken as it is unfinished.
I guess those are two different things. No, but it gives you an appreciation for games that even, you know, weren't received well critically, and just, you know, clearly were not made to maybe they're not their best selves. But a lot of times it actually works in the favor of this community because they have more to play with.
Yeah.
So I would, if you have time this week, give it a watch, give it a donation,
give it a whirl. Yeah, definitely donate.
They do giveaways all throughout the week. So you can win, prize packs, anything from like shirts to
your very consoles. Own and to your very own copy of Sonic Boom.
Yes, your very own copy of Sonic Boom. They do interviews with the speedrunners, and it's awesome. And they're gonna raise lots of money for a super good cause. I don't think anyone's like pro cancer, so no.
I would hope not.
No. So with that, Marcus, that brings us to our very last segment.
Oh yes.
And I would once again give you the honor,
SpongeBob, me boy,
of reading one of our iTunes reviews.
I don't know why I said
if that. You would like to give our show a review on iTunes, one, we'd super appreciate it, and two, we might just read it on the podcast.
Yeah. So do you think it would be fun if like we gave people a prompt of like what to write
for a review?
Yeah,
that seems a little weird,
even if it's not like reviewing the show. Like I was thinking, and you could totally scratch this because I didn't ask you this before, but it was just my sister's 12th birthday. So if any of you listeners wanted to go on iTunes, I think it would be cool if you told my sister happy birthday, or just leave us a normal review, whatever you fancy.
I don't know if we need reviews for like message boards, but you can definitely send us an email and we'll convey that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read this one. Let's see. I want to make sure I get the new one. So this one is from Skylark Finch. The people behind this podcast are really cool people, and they care a lot about their content and their audience. It's a unique take on video games because they also cater to non-gamers who might be listening. Either way, informative podcasts with people worth supporting. Well, thank you, Skylark Finch. That means
if that is your real name.
Yeah, who would make up that name? That is a cool name.
Sounds like my next Skyrim character.
Yeah, so we are on our quest to get one new iTunes review every week. So please, if you are listening to this, go leave us a review right now and we'll read it on the air.
We'll read it in Spanish. Probably not.
You don't know Spanish.
No, Valerie does, though.
Yeah.
the whitest one among us.
The whitest girl.
Knows the most Spanish.
Yes. All right. Well,
it's been good talking to you.
It's been good talking to you.
Yeah. I have more things to share, and I'm excited to share them soon.
Okay. Well, next week?
Maybe.
Next week is when by this time next week, we will know everything there is to know.
Yeah, that's
the probably gonna be our Nintendo entire... Switch.
So get ready to switch your life around.
This is a bad joke.
It's bad. We gotta go. We'll
abort, see you. Abort!
Go! Get out of here! Bye!